word of God today, buckle up, because I believe I got a word that will shake the very bowels of hell, that will give freedom to all of those watching, both far and near. Go right to the word of God, and let's begin with Luke 24, verse 1. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? It takes us to the title of my text here this morning, and it's simply called, He's Still Moving. Somebody need to type that. Somebody need to text that. Somebody need to tell somebody, He's Still Moving. Matter of fact, while you're at it, hashtag it, I've got evidence. Hashtag, I've got evidence. Father God, use your servant, your son, right now. Speak to me and through me. As I speak to your beautiful people here, saved and unsaved all over the world. Father, we thank you for who you are in this earth. We thank you for getting up, Father God. We honor you, we bless you, we love you. And when I embrace you in Jesus' name, somebody say amen. I want to give you a couple of things here, of facts of the impact, because I'm looking at what is happening within our world, within our country, and I see something here in the facts of the impact. Now, mind you, these are numbers from last night. They've probably changed since this morning, but as of last night, the U.S. total affected with this COVID-19 were around 500,000 plus. The U.S. total deaths at that time last night was probably about 20,000. Millions of job losses, probably 17 plus million people have filed for unemployment. We've seen factories shuttered and we've seen industry interrupted. Now that's facts of the impact. But then I got to give you facts of faith here. I see facts of faith here and I see it out of Isaiah 53, and it says, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I know what's going on is what's going on, and it is what it is, as they say. But I know one thing, and you ought to lean on the TV screen or your computer or your phone or the person that's nearest to you and tell them he's still moving. Inside of all that's going on in the earth right now, he's still moving. I've came to tell you that God is still moving in the midst of this pandemic. He is not full of panic. He is not full of worry. He is not full of concern. He got up so I could get up. He got up anticipating that this day and this season would come, and he is not one bit or one iota concerned about it, because I know that my God will never fail. And I know my God is yet still on the throne. Matthew 27, Matthean takes us back to Matthew 27, and we catch Jesus here, and the Bible says he is on the cross, and he yells out, and he says, Eli, Eli, lama, Matthew 27, for those of you following through, Matthew 27, right around verse 4, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Or, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at this point of tremendous pain that our Jesus was feeling for the first time through all eternity. He was feeling the separation from God. He was feeling as though God had literally turned his back on him, because the Bible tells us that he cannot look at the depth of sin. He cannot look at, because he is light. Understand now, everybody, that Jesus, the Bible tells us in John 1 that in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God. And so if you walk with the Father all of your life, remember Jesus said in John 5:19, I only do what my Father tells me to do, and I don't do anything apart from my Father. So think about getting to the place on the cross now where all of a sudden he's saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He feels there's a separation from God. So see, he's in a place of tremendous agony, a place of tremendous pain. I know I've been there before. Not on the cross, but I've been there where you felt like, anybody ever felt like God was a million miles away? And Jesus is in this painful point of time, and he's crying out before God. And what we know is the Bible says that Jesus looked up to heaven, and he gave up the ghost. And then the Bible says that there was an earthquake, literally, and the ground began to shake. And the Bible says that the veil was torn top to bottom. And that was the opening. That was a New Testament opening where now we could come into the presence of the Holy of Holies. Aren't you so glad that we don't have to worry about sacrificing bulls and sheep and goats? Now we were entering beyond the veil, and the veil was torn. And the Bible says the saints of old came out of the grave to prepare themselves for the resurrection. Eli, Eli, lama Sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And right around this time, the Bible tells us that there's a man named Joseph. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. And he comes across and he asks Pilate, and he says, Pilate, I want the body of Jesus. And Joseph, he gets the body of Jesus. And the Bible says he's wrapped up. And then Joseph goes to a tomb. And he goes to, watch this, he doesn't go to an old tomb, he goes to a new tomb. And the Bible says he carves it out. He carves it out, and he makes a tomb for our Jesus, a new tomb. Somebody type a new tomb. Somebody say a new tomb. We got to know, because it bears repeating, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, because what you need to know here, Psalm 22 speaks of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Understand this. Jesus felt the desolation of the isolation from his Father's presence. Jesus felt the desolation of the isolation from his Father's presence. Now, as I began this particular message here in Luke 24, we get to these particular women. Some scholars say they're the three Marys. And they come up on this tomb. Somebody say a new tomb. And they come up on the tomb, and they see that the stone has been rolled away. Now, let me take my time here a little bit so I can really completely unpack what it is, the subject matter that I'm talking about, because they come to this tomb and they've got these spices and they're ready to anoint Jesus's body, but they find that the stone has been rolled away. And the Bible says, even as they approach the tomb, they see two men in dazzling white. Now, many scholars say that this was actually Moses and Elijah, because remember, Moses and Elijah were present at the transfiguration with Jesus. And they say something so daunting, so amazing. They say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? I don't know if that grips you out there, but isn't it amazing that people will always try to find you where you've been delivered from? Am I talking to anybody out there? Why is it that people will always look for you where you've already been delivered from? I see something here in the text, everybody, that jumps out at me. I see something because I look at the rock. I look at the stone that was rolled away. And I say to myself that he's Jesus. He didn't necessarily have to have the stone rolled away. He actually could have just appeared. Didn't need to roll a stone away, but something leaps out at me, and I'm going to draw a parallel to your life. There was something that Jesus was telling us in this particular text, and the big word of this moment is evidence. There was evidence that Jesus knew that was necessary for all to see of his resurrection. Was evidence. And I see this evidence as in four types of evidence. I see demonstrative evidence. Demonstrative evidence is right there on your screen. I see evidence in the form of a representation of an object that details the event serves merely as a visual aid. Then I see real evidence. Real evidence. A thing of any kind that was present or used in the case to present a fact such as fingerprints, blood samples, or DNA. I'm going to go deeper here in just a minute. Then I see the third portion of evidence. I see testimonial. Evidence elicited by a witness or witness testimony. Then I see the fourth batch of evidence. I see documentary. I see documentary evidence because it involves the actual physical contract, document, and or recording. Wait a minute, Pastor, break that down. I see the evidence, number one, in demonstrative, the evidence that is in form of the representation that details the event is serving simply as a visual aid. I see that as the rock. I see that as the rock. I see that as the stone was rolled away. I see that as the demonstrative evidence that Jesus is alive. Then I see this real evidence, everybody, because John tells us, actually in John's gospel, John tells us that when the disciples arrived at the tomb, that they actually saw that the linens had been separated from where Jesus was. And if you read Hebrew to tradition says that if the when the linens have been separated, if the linen had been balled up, that meant that the person that was dining was finished. Okay, let me go back. So when Jesus got up, according to John, he folded the linens and he set them real neatly to the side. So when the disciples got there, according to John's gospel, they went in and they saw the linen was neatly folded to the side. Now, according to tradition, a folded up napkin and or linen meant I'm coming back. Wait a minute. Wait. Do you see something, Pastor? I see evidence. Somebody type evidence. I see evidence. I see evidence that he was there. Then I see, watch this, that's the real evidence. Then I see testimonial. I see the evidence that's elicited by a witness. Where do you see that, Pastor? Well, that's the two dazzling men in white. Because somebody's got to be inside there to give testimony of what they know happened. Then I see the documentary evidence. Well, Pastor, where do you see documentary evidence? Remember, this involves the actual physical contract, the document and or the recording. Wait a minute, I'm going somewhere, everybody. Well, where do you see that? I see the actual documented recording as in this word of God that I'm holding right now. This is the actual document. Are you hearing me out there? This is the actual documented recording that he was dead and is now alive. This is the documented recording that he no longer is in the grave. This is the actual documented recording that he is walking the earth today. This is the actual documented recording that... Is anybody getting this morning? If you're getting this, somebody type, I'm getting it, Pastor. And the few of you in here, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy may think he's building a case, but God said, I will finish my race. I said, the enemy may think he's building a case, but God said, I will finish my race. There's something happening here when it comes to evidence, and it's got me tripping a bit because I started to realize in my life there's a reason why I've gone through some of the things that I've gone through. There's a reason why God has taken you on the pathway that he has taken you. Some of you are crying and groping and complaining about how you've been through this, how you're going through that, how you've run up against this, how you run up against that. Maybe you've been laid off. Maybe you've been diagnosed with some level of sickness. Maybe you've been going through some type of depressive mood disorder. Maybe you've been left. Maybe somebody walked away from you. Maybe you got a mother that didn't cover. Maybe you got a father that didn't bother. You got a whole lot of issues going on in your life. But one thing I know about God is that he will build evidence in your life to... Yeah. And this evidence will ensure that he was with you the entire time. Is there anybody out here watching that can show enough look back at the last number of months or years on your life, and you know that God has used that as evidence? When people are talking about you and talking about where is your God, and if he was God, then how could this happen? And if God was this, and how could this happen? And how could you go through this if this was God, this, that, and the other? What they don't get is they don't understand. This is just evidence. Wait a minute. Wait. This is just evidence. This thing that happened to my kid, that's just evidence that he is God. That's all that is. That's just evidence. Listen, I know I messed up. I know I blew some money. I know I made a mistake. I know I did that. But listen, God's going to use this as evidence. The last time I read my Bible, he uses everything. That's why he told the woman with the oil. He said, listen, just give me that. That's why Elijah told the woman with the oil, just give me everything that you got. Why? Because God don't waste nothing. And talking to anybody, God don't waste nothing. Nothing that you've been through, nothing that you've come through, nothing that you've fallen down on. God will you. How can God use this raggedy, nasty testimony, Pastor? He just does it in a way that he does it. Let me tell you, just the other day, I was going through some old things, some old documents. I was just going through some stuff because I was looking for some information. I keep like a safety nest of some of the old documents that are necessary. Life insurance, things like that. And I was going through some of these documents, and I began to just pick some documents out, and all of a sudden I began to read some of the stuff that I had put in there. And what you don't understand is that some of the stuff that I put in there was breakthrough stuff. I began to pull out some documents that were actually a part of my breakthrough. Wait a minute, Pastor. There was stuff and mistakes that I had made in my life some years ago, and then God came in and just did a miracle. See, there was some stuff that was dead. Uh-oh, here we go now. There was some stuff that was dead, but God made alive. You say, well, Pastor, why did you keep it? Because I keep it as a reminder of what God is able to do. See, I don't know who I'm talking to. There are times in your life that you need to recall the things that God has already done in your life. What Jesus did was set up evidence. Somebody type and shell evidence. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Why are you looking? There's something so pregnant in this particular passage. These two men in dazzling white, they say, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I don't know about you, but I began to think to myself, but who are they talking about? Because there's nobody in there. Are y'all getting this out there? They said, why are you looking among the dead? But ain't nobody in there because he's risen. What I began to get revelatory from the Lord is that what happens is that, see, all of those things that you have ascended from, because God has delivered you from, those are dead things. And dead things belong in a tomb. Oh, my Lord. And so, listen, don't look for me where my dead things are. You will not find me where you found me some years ago. See, the one thing about being delivered and being set free is that nobody can hold you back and hold you down to who you used to be. The one thing about joining hand in hand with Christ is he said, behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Don't try to hold me there where I used to be. I know I might have made that mistake. I know I might have gone there. I know I might have done this, that, and the other thing. But guess what, baby? I've graduated from that. I've come and I've stepped over the threshold of grace, and I've come into the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I've got evidence. And he is alive. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Man. Somebody need to prophesy to themselves and say, you won't find me where you found me. I'm ascending to my place of destiny. You won't find me where you found me. I'm ascending to my place of destiny. You won't find me there anymore. I've risen from that thing. I'm not messed up on that no more. You can keep talking about me. You can keep trying to hold me back, but I am not there anymore. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, there was a graduation ceremony, and that graduation ceremony put me on par with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have graduated from who I used to be. Let's not complicate this sanctified life. This is simply about laying down who you used to be and coming into being who God has created you to be. Listen, I know you can say as I did, I am not who I might need to be right now, but I am sure not who I used to be. Is there anybody out there that knows they are no longer who they used to be, but they're going into who God has called them to be? Somebody say, I am not dead, I am alive, and I am with the Father right now, both in spirit, both in natural, both in my mind, both in my heart, both in my soul. You have to understand the fact that the Bible speaks so eloquently about the death and how Christ conquered the power of death and the pain of conquering the power of death. When you think about what Christ did was to come out of deity, to come out of deity at the right hand of the Father, and to take up on a body that was frail and walk 33 years on this earth as a man just like me. Headed for one moment, and that would be to make that walk up Calvary and to get on that cross and to be lifted up, to be stretched wide, to give up the ghost, to be buried, only to live again. Only a Jesus could do something like that for me and for you. I see something in here, everybody. And I need you to write this down. I need you to type it. I need you to tweet it. The grave is subject to his grace. The grave is subject to his grace. There ain't nothing like the grace of God. Somebody type, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. This time, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. See, many of you already, you know he got up. But you need to know why he left a trail behind. He didn't just get up. He actually set it up. As he is, so are we in the earth. Watch this. Watch this. So what this means is that those of you that have been saved, those of you that have been blood washed, those of you who know the Lord, you can look back in your life and you can see what happened a few years ago, what happened last month. See, some of you, watch this. God is using this moment in your life to plant evidence. I need you to stay encouraged. Stay encouraged. It's just evidence. That's all it is. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with right now. I'm dealing with so much. I got so much pressure on me. Kids are acting up. Relationships are all messed up. And now I've been in 5 weeks and I can't even be in the house of God. But man, I'm feeling some kind of way, Pastor. What are you telling me? I'm trying to tell you, it's evidence. You look back at this season and you say, you know what? I thank God for using this season the way that he did. Because I'm a better man. I'm a better woman because of the evidence that God helped me to use in my life. Are you getting something out there? If you're getting something, type, I'm getting something, Pastor. Beginning around home here. There's some scriptures that jump out at me. One is in Philippians 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, Paul speaking, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Somebody say by faith. That I may know him, here we go, and the power, somebody type power. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, here it is, of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, he said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power, there's that word again, of God. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Ain't nobody like our God, everybody. Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom the word of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Somebody yell, I believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Here it is. But we preach Christ crucified. You don't preach. This is not a pretty thing. Let's not try to dress this up. I love Passion of the Christ, but there is not a movie that could depict what my Jesus had to go through. There is nothing that can actually show the pain and the agony that Jesus had to go through. And I'm so excited here on this Sunday morning. I was excited. Matter of fact, just this past Friday, I did a devotion. And one of the things that I said in the devotion is, listen, it is Friday, but Sundays are coming. Guess what? Sunday is here right now. And I'm so glad that my Jesus was willing to sacrifice on my behalf. See, you really get an internal breakthrough when you know why God died for you. Yeah. Does anybody know all the things that you done that would mark yourself unworthy, but somebody need to type and push anybody close to them and say, but God. Only God could die for someone like me. Only God could die for somebody like her. Only God could die for somebody like you. Aren't you so happy that God saw fit to die for you? And that's what this all is. We have complicated the gospel. Simply put, he died so that you could live. You don't have to listen. Why are you trying to fight a defeated foe? Oh, I feel like preaching now. Why are you trying to fight a devil that already got whooped? My Jesus already dealt with him according to Revelations 1 and 18, given to John on the island of Patmos. Jesus told him, he said, I am he who was dead, but now I am alive. And not only am I alive, but I hold the keys to Hades and the grave. Listen, you are the battle that you are fighting has already been won. I'm talking to anybody out there. Somebody need to type, he'll fight my battle. Matter of fact, type this. He finished my battle. He finished. Not only did he fight it, he finished it. Wait a minute. So if I'm in a fight, come here, Joe. I mean, you keep social distance. Keep social distance from me. Can y'all see him? Can y'all see him in the camera? Can y'all see him in the camera? If y'all can see him, I want to show you something. If somebody is coming after me, and there's a bully out there, and he's coming after me, and Joe has already whooped that bully behind. There you go. Go get him. Go get him. Oh, come on. You see that? That's a UFC. That's a UFC Christ Cross. That's called Christ CrossFit. Christ CrossFit. And watch this. He's already defeated him. So I don't have to come behind Joe and and fight somebody that he's already whooped. Too many of us are trying to fight a battle that has already been won. When you realize that this battle has already been won, what you do is you just say, thank you, Jesus, for whooping my enemies for me. Oh, my Lord. You are fighting I might be talking to two or three people out there. I need to tell you once again, you are fighting a defeated foe. Everything that you will ever have to go through, Christ has already gone through on your behalf. I see something in my Jesus. I'm telling you, I had some old school stuff stirring in me this week. And some of y'all remember Superman. Some of y'all remember Superman. And there was something in my spirit. And I began to think about Jesus. And I began to say to myself, he's faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than Corona. Able to reap dead bodies with a single word. Look up, fess up, get up. He's Jesus. Let me say that again. Some of y'all missed that. I said he's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than Corona. Able to reap dead bodies with a single word. Look up, get up, fess up. He's Jesus. Somebody need to give God glory right where they're seating right now. Come on, somebody go crazy for Jesus. Come on, don't get up off the couch right now. Get up off your seat right now. Somebody go crazy for, come on, somebody go crazy for Jesus right now. Somebody lift up a shout. Somebody lift up a shout. Lift up a shout at home. Lift up a shout. The few of you in here. Somebody lift up a shout right now. Lift up a shout. I've got evidence. I've got evidence. I've got evidence. I've got evidence in my life. I've got evidence. Watch this, everybody. I've got evidence. I've got evidence. We're in April right now. 15 months ago. Almost 16 months ago. I've got evidence. 15, 16 months ago, I was laying in the hospital, January 2019. I was sicker than I've ever been in my life. Never been that sick. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. Dealing with some things going on in my stomach. And I began to wonder, what is it that God is going to work out through this? What's God doing? How's God going to use this? And I began to remind myself that no good thing will he withhold from me. This will simply be a testimony. This will simply be something that I'll look back upon and I'll say, you know what? I remember when. See, you need proof. Don't miss this. Matter of fact, type this. Type, I need proof of my deliverance. I need proof of my deliverance. When I look back at those 15, 16 months ago, I realize God was with me then. And there was no question that that he was going to deliver me. This is what the cross is about. The cross is about dying so that you can live again, so that I can live again. You don't have to be buried under all of that anxiety, under that depression, under that hurt, under that pain. You don't have to be buried under that. Listen, I know he may have walked out on you. She may have walked out on you. You feel overburdened. But I promise you, God will use everything that you've ever been through and prove to himself that he is God, and beside him, there is no other. Listen, as my wife joins me, I'm going to make a clarion call for dozens and dozens of you right now that are saying, Pastor, I've not looked at my evidence the right way. I've been looking at these situations and these circumstances. I've not really functionally grasped the fact that God, watch this, was building a case that I would then be able to point back to and say, God, thank you that you brought me, as they say, from a mighty long way. Listen, I know you're out there this morning. Matter of fact, come here a little closer. If you're a man or woman today on this Resurrection Sunday, and I know you're out there, there's many of you, and you need to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. All over. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Call your kids in the room. Call your auntie. Call your family members. If you're home with family, call your family in the room right now. If you're not saved, give your life to Christ right now. If you're in a backslidden state, Jesus said, listen, he said, I'm married to the backslider. You might be a prodigal son. You might be a prodigal daughter. This is your moment right now. This is your moment right now. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands, and I want you to give your heart to Jesus. I want you, according to Romans 10, I just want you to believe in your heart, and I want you to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And everything that you have ever committed will be completely, the slate will be cleansed. Some of you have been dealing with so much pressure, man. You got so much stuff going on in your life. Like, Pastor, this thing is just bananas. Now is the time. Lay it all down. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Come on, if that's you, and it's many of you right now, if you have turned back to God, you've turned back to God. You've been away for some time. You've been away for a season. You've turned back to God. That's you today. Some of you, you're giving your life to Christ for the very first time. If that's you, let us know. There's a connect card. There's a link right there. As you're watching, right, you'll see the link. Click that link. It's private. Nobody will see this. Click that link. It's private. And connect with us. Let us know that you made that decision today. Why? Because we want to follow up. We want to help you. We want to disciple you. We want to walk through with you. We want to walk this life with you. You're not alone. You are not by yourself. I don't care if you're in a house by yourself and tears are coming out your eyes. You're saying, Pastor, now it all makes sense. This has all been God building evidence. One thing I know, without a shadow of a doubt, is he's still moving. He's still moving. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't hit the pause button. And what we are going to experience globally is the greatest visitation of Jesus Christ that we have ever seen on the planet Earth. Can y'all believe that with me? We're going to have the greatest visitation, the greatest visit that we have ever seen on the Earth will happen out of this. He's still moving.
Still moving. He's still-
that. Type that. He's still moving. He's still proving. He's still proving.
Come on, say it again. He's still moving.
He's still moving.
Everywhere you look.
He's still proving.
Just how great he is.
How great
he is.
We say, is there
anything
too hard for the Lord?
Is there anything? Is there anything too hard? Come on, I like that. Is there? Come on, come on. Is there?
Is there? Anything too hard for the Lord?
Come on, is there? Is there? And he's still proving, listen to these words now, just how great he is. I decree and declare over your life right now that your best days are ahead of you. They are not behind you. I decree and I declare and I prophesy over your lives right now that every dead thing in your life, because of what Christ did for us, that every dead thing in your life will come alive. According to the word of God, I decree and I declare that you will be prosperous, you will be blessed emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, and financially. I declare and I decree that you will get up from a dead place in life and you will live again. I decree and I declare that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. May everything that is dead on your life, that is trying to bury you, that is trying to hold you back, may it be evicted right now by the blood of the Lamb. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit on me right now. As he ascended, the power of the Holy Spirit descended in the earth, and you now have power and you have authority over everything that would come against you. You have power and authority to tread upon serpents. Nothing shall come nigh thy dwelling. I command the blood of Jesus to cover you, cover your homes, cover your jobs, cover your family, cover your friends right now in the name of Jesus, because he paid the cost on the cross. We can live free in Jesus. If you receive that, somebody type, "I receive it, Pastor. I receive it." Type, "I receive that. I receive that." So many of you I know gave your life to Jesus or recommitted yourself. Make sure, again, you follow along within the Connect card. Let us know that you recommitted yourself to Jesus today. And we want to help you. We want to disciple you in this most precious season in your life. There's no need to panic. He is risen. He's risen, team. He's risen. There's no need to panic. In the midst of a pandemic, he has risen. If you believe that, give God some healthy praise right there at home. Come on, give God some praise. Get that smile on your face and give him some praise. It's time to speak the blessing. We want to speak the blessing over you. Keep your eyes open if you're just tuning in for the very first time. I'm not praying for you. I'm speaking a blessing. Keep your eyes open, would you? We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say, "It's my best season." And he's still moving. I bless you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, and certainly financially. We tell you each week, God has only given us one life to live. He reincarnated for us, Lord. He resurrected for us so that we could live totally free, without shackles, without doubts, without shames, without pains. And when you deal with those things, you press through them according to the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We tell you each week, God's only given us one life to live. Along the way, we're going to be excited, energetic, full of life so much so that we do what? Give it away to somebody in your home. Listen, we love you so much. Can't wait to get you back in the building. Until then, tell everybody that you know, tune in 8:30 and 11 o'clock to Victory at Liberty. Have an outstanding Resurrection Sunday. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God bless you. We love you. Take care.